everybody.
Hey. Hello.
We are here again. We are the Antler Queens. I am Melanie, and we have also...
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Emily.
Yes, and today we're here with another character deep dive episode from Yellow Jackets, and our focus will be none other than the notorious MFQ.
Misty
Quigley. But before we dive in, you know, we thought we should just share a little bit of timely news from Camp Yellow Jackets. They've actually started filming season two, which is very exciting news. You know, we've seen some speculation on what they're filming first. Fans are saying that it looks like they're filming some present day scenes right now. And Emily, you mentioned before we started that there was some cabin stuff in there, right?
Yeah, it looks like on the, what did you call that thing again? The clip?
The slate.
Yes. Okay. Yes. On the slate, it says time and it says present. So a lot of people are assuming that that means that they're filming present day timeline scenes. But if you look in the background, it appears... It looks like the cabin to me anyways. So
it looks pretty cabiny.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking on Reddit right now as to what they could be filming if they're filming present day scenes at the cabin.
That would be so awesome.
Oh my God. There's so nothing awesome. I'd like more than like opening season two with, you know, Nat tied up in the cabin. Although based on Juliet Lewis's Instagram, she may not be on location filming yet. So, you know, but the way production schedules work, you know, they don't always shoot things in order. So you never know how it will all, you know, pan out when the episodes are all done. But
by the way,
we're so excited.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm okay. This has me even more excited now that I saw who's directing the episode. Daisy von Schillermeyer. She directed two of my favorite episodes in TV. The Doom Coming episode.
The Doom Coming episode. My favorite episode from season one. Hands down. Episode 9.
And I'm sorry. The other one is not. I always get it mixed up with this, with the other episode. She directed the Walking Dead episode titled Look at the Flowers, which was a great episode.
I've seen that one.
Oh my God.
I think the one you're probably thinking of is The Grove. That was in season four where she shot Lizzie.
I was thinking when Lizzie was shot. Yeah. I was wrong. Yeah.
Look at the Flowers.
She says, look at the flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually the name of a season 10 episode that was very, that was pretty much all Carol. And it was like, there were callbacks to that episode. The big villain that season, she was acting as her conscience. And she was like, she was basically considering letting a walker kill her. And she was, and the villain that season was telling her to look at the flowers. But it was a great episode. So, I mean, Daisy von Schillermeyer directed a lot of stuff. She's directed some really good stuff.
Excellent. I cannot wait. Have they
had primarily women directing the show? I thought that I heard that, which is so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of guys who have worked, either written or directed episodes, but it's mostly women. It's very women's centric.
Which we love. I mean, the strong female-led cast, you know, us as women being the Antler Queens and, you know, all of the women involvement is something very refreshing, I think, you know, for Hollywood. And, you know, speaking of Hollywood, the Emmys are coming up in a couple of weeks. And we just want to say thank you to Showtime for sending all of us these really cool shirts and a yearbook, the For Your Consideration yearbook that they put together for the Emmys. So, you know, thanks to Showtime. I know they sent these out to a bunch of fans. I think it's really cool that, you know, they're reaching out and engaging the fans. And I cannot wait to wear my Cooking with Misty shirt. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too.
Yes. All right. Well, you know, with that, why don't we dive in head first with Misty? Emily, why don't you get the conversation going for us?
Okay, so I sort of came up with a theory, and I think a lot of other people kind of think the same, and I titled it All Roads Lead to Misty. It's involving the possibility that Misty could be involved with the cult. So we all know that a lot happens that makes Misty look super suspicious and points to her still being involved with the cult. And she does a lot to directly put herself in the middle of what's going on, like on purpose. We know that. And some of the reasons why I think that it's possible that she could be involved with the cult would be that Misty was the direct link between Natalie and finding Travis. If Misty had never met with Natalie, then like who's to say Natalie would have ever found him on her own?
Absolutely.
We don't know. And Misty also messes with Natalie's car right before Natalie decides to take this trip. And I kind of think that she did that to gain control of the situation. Maybe she didn't want Natalie to leave when she was planning on leaving or something like that. Just trying to control what she can at all times, basically. I also thought it was really weird that she didn't want to leave Natalie alone in her car when they stopped for gas on their road trip. Like when mm-hmm. Natalie asked like to get her something to eat, like she was like, oh, maybe you could come with me. Like you can't go inside by yourself.
Right. She might've been afraid she was going to leave her stranded there. And obviously yeah. she did not want that to happen for yeah. whatever reason. So,
and also with the car part that she stole from Natalie's car being in her glove box, I think that was a reason that she didn't want her to be alone too, because we saw Natalie found that. What else? Let's see. Misty, the cops only show up to Travis's house moments after Misty goes outside alone to go through Travis's trash. So I think it could be possible that maybe Misty herself called the cops because, again, she wants to have control over the situation. So she ensures that the cult has time to execute whatever their plan would be by getting them arrested.
And, well, and let's not forget, she was talking to Kevin Tan.
That too, yes.
A text message on the way.
Mm-hmm. And we cannot forget that Misty was the one that identified the wax on the floor and put together the pieces of the puzzle, which for me is like the number one thing. As I've said, I don't care if you're the best Survivor puzzle doer in the history of Survivor or you're, you know, a super keen citizen detective. There's no way you could connect those dots without having some preconceived knowledge about it. Yeah, no chance.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. No chance.
I think that Travis was killed when Misty and Natalie were in jail in New Hampshire.
Yeah, so do I.
I firmly believe that that was when he died. I think that they showed up at his house. When they showed up at his house, he was still alive. Misty is also the one that finds Travis's pay stub. So she's essentially responsible for them locating Travis's place of employment, which we all know that's where they found Travis dead. So again, she wanted to control the situation. So she controlled how Natalie found out this information. I think that there's also a possibility that Misty already knew where Travis worked because she is, after all, a citizen detective. Right. So she could have known that information, but she might not have wanted Natalie to know that information at that time.
Yeah. I mean, she had everything. She had Callie's birth certificate.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Right?
Like, how do you even get your hands on that?
Yeah, I have no idea. God, I would not want to know her. I'd be like just running for the hills. I definitely agree that he was killed while they were locked up. And I think that's why I've always felt like Thaisa has a connection to that too. And that's why she can bail her out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ty's got to be involved with this somehow. Like I've said, I think the cult is like her super PAC with all of Lottie's family money that, you know, they want her to be president someday. So again, Ty for president in like season 4 is my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unrelated. I agree.
I feel like if Misty was involved, like she wanted Natalie to see Travis dead for some reason. I don't know what that reason would be, but I think that Natalie seeing that was like, maybe it was crucial to the breakdown of Natalie's psyche or something like that. Because when we see Natalie at the end of season 1, she has a gun in her mouth. Like she clearly has deteriorated. Like her mental state is not good. And I obviously finding Travis dead had a major, major role in that. So,
and the note, like
my next point. Yep.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yep.
Misty is the one that found the note that Travis supposedly leaves for Natalie. Because we're assuming that Travis wrote it, but what if he didn't write it at all? What if Misty wrote it and gave it to Natalie to try to send Natalie on some like wild goose chase for some reason? I'm not sure if that's the case, but it could be. I mean, anything's possible with Misty.
Absolutely.
I'm so conflicted about what her angle is with Natalie, because one hand, she actually does seem to want to protect her in some way. But on the other hand, why was she so concerned about her doing coke, you know?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, why would she take her to see Travis? Because I'm sure, I'm sure she was involved. I'm sure that she knew what they were going to find. Like, why would she do that? You know?
That's just something I can't figure out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, there's this weird duality going on with their relationship. And Misty is clearly in control. Wish I knew what her angle was.
The coke thing is really crazy, though, to your point, Kelly, too. You know, if she is trying to somehow sabotage Nat or something, why would she have taken one for the team in such a big way? Like, that was a lot of coke to just go in and snort. And right. I mean, God, like, she didn't know where it came from. I mean, it could have been laced with like fentanyl. She's lucky, you know, she didn't like overdose or something. So it is that strange duality of, you know, where does she stand? I mean, it's so strange that she, you know, acts one way and sometimes acts another. And it's confusing. Yeah.
She also had control over getting them out of jail, like, because Thaisa, for some reason, decides not to bail Natalie out. I don't know if that's a coincidence or like if she knew something was happening and she knew if Natalie got out that Natalie would be able to stop it. So I feel like Misty had control in that situation too. And she, like, the fact that she called Kevin is just
is really shady, right?
Yeah.
I mean, And Kevin responding to her is strange, I think, too. So,
yeah, especially after he learns that she essentially like catfished him, like she was pretending to be Natalie and talking to him, which is like another line that you don't cross with your friends.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, the catfishing. It's all very sus. As the kids say.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt she does a good enough Natalie impersonation to like to be on the phone and pretending to be Natalie still, you know.
I mean, he has to have known, you know. It's bizarre. And where did she get the number? Did she use one of those like burner services? How do you even technically do that?
He left his card on the bar. I think that's where she got it from.
But like, if she was pretending to be Nat, then like how would it originate from a different phone number? You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
I don't know. Unless she did it from Nat's phone, but I don't see that happening either. So I don't know. Like, wouldn't Kevin have had Nat's number saved and known it wasn't her? I don't know.
I think Natalie might have left his card there.
She did. And Misty pocketed it. Yeah, Misty pockets it.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So, So Natalie didn't actually have his phone number. Misty was the only one that had it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The whole Travis thing is so suspicious.
For sure.
I don't know. I mean, oh God.
Yeah. Her putting together those dots of like the wax and the photos for me, like I keep going back to it. I can't get over it. You know?
She's involved, was she trying to warn her by pointing that out? Or was she trying to like threaten her by pointing it out? I mean, God.
And then it's like, you know, she kills Jessica Roberts, and that in a way is protective of the surviving Yellow Jackets too, like you know, I mean, unless Jessica knew something else that could have caused trouble for Misty and the cult, I don't know. But I mean, she killed her to protect them, maybe not. I don't know. We still don't know if she killed the rat at the beginning either, right? Like, circling back to like the very start when we see Misty with the rat in the pool, like that's another thing I just can't get
I'm assuming it just drowned. But I mean, like, what I have so many questions as to like what led her to be like that. Is it,
yeah,
I mean, is it just is it completely genetic, or are there environmental factors? I mean, were her parents, I think she had at least a negligent father at the very least.
Oh yeah.
Or an absent father, and that's possibly why she has such a crush on Ben.
That's true. Daddy issues. That would kind of make sense. And I would love to meet Mr. and Mrs. Quigley and get more background into Misty. I mean, we've not met them. We've not met Shauna's parents. You know, we have some context into some of the other characters in their home life, but not Misty's. And really quick, like if we were just, you know, casting Mr. and Mrs. Quigley, I would go for a Jessica Biel, Matthew McConaughey. Like I picture Jessica Biel with the curly hair and candy and just oh my God, like she could be the perfect Mrs. Quigley. But I, you know, I'm hoping that we get more background into Misty's upbringing. Cause I mean, to your point, Kelly, is it genetic? Is it environmental? Mm-hmm. Is it a combination of both? Clearly something happened to make Misty the way she is.
So many people want to know about her home life and her background and her parents. Like it's talked about so much on Reddit.
How cool would it be if she has a sibling out there who like she is kind of estranged from for solid reasons that and her siblings like.
Oh my God, maybe it's Elijah Wood. Like maybe Elijah Wood is secretly her sibling.
Oh my God.
And you know, because you know, Walter, right? Elijah Wood's upcoming character. They say he's a citizen detective. He'll challenge Misty. And I just thought to myself, like, oh, like maybe it's like a relationship. It's a one season arc. You know, maybe she kills him at the end of the season for whatever reason, whatever he discovers. But you know, I never even thought it could be an estranged family member. That would be like next level layers, you know. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, no kidding.
I read like an interview that Christina Ricci gave about like what she thinks about Misty. And I think if I'm remembering correctly, she said she imagines Misty's parents to be in like the medical field or be doctors, because that would kind of explain why they're a little absent and like they didn't have time for her. So she was neglected and she wasn't given that love and affection like other children are given when they're growing up.
Right. Gotcha.
See, I was kind of, I was thinking the extreme version of that. And her mother had Munchausen by proxy and killed her.
Oh, wow.
Hey, that would explain a lot.
That would explain a lot. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God.
She learned everything from her mother.
And, you know, Christina Ricci has said in a couple different articles now too that she doesn't see Misty as like a comic relief character, which is interesting to me because I laugh out loud at so many of the things that Misty says. Like she is really funny. But you know, Christina kind of says that, you know, as an actor, I tend to over empathize with my characters. And the hardest thing for me was to feel that the character was being laughed at all the time. And to that end, she worked with the series on the hair and makeup to kind of tone down the initial look that they had for Misty. So it wasn't too cartoonish, though between the glasses, frizzy hair and kittens on her sweater, she's still pretty geekish, which I mean, she has a very distinctive look. And it's interesting to think they were trying to make it even more extreme. I think they landed at a really good spot for Misty and the way she looks and her whole character.
Yeah, I think so too. I did read an interesting comment. I think it might have been from, maybe it was in the same article, but she was talking about how they had her ordering some other type of drink at the restaurant, and Christina Ricci was like, no, she drinks chocolate martinis.
Yep. And I love that they get some creative control with that, you know, much like Juliette Lewis has chimed in on, you know, like wearing her face mask in her motel room scene and that sort of thing. So it's nice they give the actors some, you know, creative range to be able to, you know, have a voice in their character. I think that's awesome.
I agree.
You know what, that theory about her parents being involved in the medical field is really interesting though, because it's, that could be why she took that Red Cross babysitter's.
I was just thinking that, like, twice. Maybe that explains why she has knowledge of like a lot of like medical things that like most people wouldn't just know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you would learn it from the Red Cross babysitter's training class either.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I'm guessing her parents probably like pushed her to do. You know, she might've been interested in it as well, but you know, her parents might have influenced her her participation in that. So yeah, I think that's a really good theory. Also, she her pool looked pretty nice.
Yeah.
Nice house.
And yeah. She had like her own phone line. She had a TV, mm-hmm. She had a computer. And I think if I remember, she had a telescope too, which are really expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. I think her parents had some money.
Yeah.
And you know, poor Misty, like, you know, even with all the money and all that, she's still like getting bullied from the kids at school. You know, this is one of the, you know, quintessential quotes when, you know, the girls are calling her, you know, trying to bully her. She's wearing her kitten sweatshirt, talking on her lips phone. And, you know, you can think what you want. Opinion is the wilderness between knowledge and ignorance. And of course, that's Plato, as she mentions. But, you know, she's very smart, too. Yeah. She's a very smart character. She knows what she's doing. I mean, God, just thinking about her putting the mushrooms into her like trapper keeper section and knowing that those were the, you know, those types of mushrooms, because you don't learn that in the Red Cross Babysitter's Club either. Right.
It'd be kind of awesome if you did.
Yeah, right. Totally. Oh my God. And another theory, you know, about Misty is that she's a serial killer. Like this has been talked about quite a bit. And Emily, you actually ran a Reddit poll. I don't know if this was your post, but that is not the one. My bad. Reddit poll. Here we go. Okay. Your Reddit poll back from 2 months ago, you asked, is Misty killing people as an adult? 652 people. No, she may be crazy. She's not a serial killer. 2,000 people. Absolutely. She has a basement already set up, as we saw with Jessica Roberts. And we ran a similar poll on our Twitter as well. And that one also came back with, yes, Misty is a serial killer. Some of the fandom has discussed that like Shauna is more similar to a character like Dexter, but I believe that like Misty and Dexter have a lot more in common, and she has total serial killer vibes, you know, like the VHSs, you know, that she has in her basement. She's got Misery, While You Were Sleeping, Primal Fear, Truman Show, Sleeping with the Enemy, and A Time to Kill. Like those are all pretty dark VHSs. I mean, Misery in itself says almost everything we need to know, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's even her, you know, even her show tune choices are interesting.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera, yeah. And, and somebody made a great comment about the song from Cats. Mr. Mistopheles.
Mr. Mistopheles,
A Redditor made a great comment about how Misty is basically Mr. Mistopheles.
good comparison.
I think they're throwing a lot of Easter eggs at us that we haven't figured out yet. I still want to know what her deja vu moment was exactly.
Yeah, same. Yes.
Same.
You know what? And Melanie, I'm sorry. I was supposed to be on picture duty for this episode and I flubbed it.
Oh my God. Hey, it's totally fine. I just decided, you know what? I'll show that picture because I think it worked right there. But you know, feel free to take over. Totally
fine. the Misery VHS is really interesting because like she's got a bed down there. She has a wheelchair down there. She's got
food, lots of food.
She had lots of food.
Yeah.
She's got that like that jumpsuit.
The jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of weird. She carries a shovel in her trunk.
I mean,
and I mean, come on, she's got Misery. She could have Misery upstairs, and you know, by the TV that she watches upstairs. But no, she's got Misery downstairs by the bed, where she probably kidnappees.
Right.
Some people think that the wheelchair was in her basement because when they got rescued, they think that she like kidnapped Ben and like he lived in her basement.
Oh my
God. If he survives.
Big if. If he survives. But wow, that is an interesting one. Oh my God.
Right?
Wow. And the VHSs, I mean, like she's, you know, just creating like the Misty brand for herself. And it is like so on brand for her with those movies and the jumpsuit. Oh my God. She could have been keeping Coach Ben prisoner. Never even thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, or she could have been caregiving for a relative. Like that was out there at some point too. But like, I don't think they'd keep them in her basement. I feel like she should give them like an upstairs room if it was a relative, right? I mean, yeah.
I've seen people say they think that like the basement was set up for her to live in and whoever she took care of lived in the house and she stayed in the basement because obviously an elderly person wouldn't be able to get up and down those stairs. So that could have been where she was living if she was taking care of a family member or something. And then when they passed away, like she got the house.
That's possible.
That's true. That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good, you know, speaking of Misty's house, I just want to bring something up that I haven't seen talked about on social media much. When I was going back to watch F Sharp, I paused it and noticed something. If you're listening to this versus watching it on YouTube, I'm very sorry because it's
you're missing out.
Yes, we'll be sure to share it on our social media. But there is this is after Natalie is there and her date leaves and she's following her into the kitchen. There are several custom portraits of Caligula with like various old school uniforms, like looks like maybe an old school military uniform and, you know, like the custom pet portraits that you can get on Etsy.
Right. But like next level pet portraits, like, I mean, it's the bird head in these strange, strange uniforms. And, you know, is that a nod to Caligula who, you know, is remembered in history as having, you know, all these mental illnesses and bouts of delirium and he ruled with extreme paranoia, saw himself as a living god. You know, I mean, that's got to be tied into maybe with how Misty maybe sees herself or, you know, part of her character. I don't know, but
I'm sure.
But the paintings are like, who did she commission for those? Like, how much money did she spend on them? I mean, next level pet portraits. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no kidding.
I also noticed that she has a picture of the soccer team on her wall right by her front door.
Yeah.
Like from the picture that's like in the case at the high school that Natalie looks at. Like, I think it's the same picture, which is just so Misty.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
To have like a remembrance of like something that was so traumatic, like hanging and like such prominent view for everyone to see.
But that was like the best time of her life. Maybe.
Exactly.
Like,
those were her glory days.
I mean, for everybody else, it was like, oh my God, we're stuck out here. But she was like thriving out there. She loved it. It's probably the time in her life when she was closest to people the most, you know? So, I mean, I can totally see that being there, but it's sad too that, you know, that's like her good memory.
Ooh. I actually have a quote. It was in episode 2, right before Misty destroys the black box. And it was a conversation between Lorelei and Van that Misty overheard while she was going to the bathroom. And Lorelei says, I didn't know Misty was capable of that. And then Van says, no, I don't know how Misty knows half of the shit, but honestly, thank God. Sorry, we would be so completely fucked if she wasn't here.
Yeah.
And the look on her face after she heard that conversation was like, that's it. Like, she saw that black box and that was game over for her.
Yeah, we've seen her. There are like 4 times when I think we've seen her really look really happy. And it was that moment. It was when in the past timeline, when she got that phone call that turned out to be the girls making fun of her. When Natalie came to ask for her help and at the reunion.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Well, and no, I'm sorry. And while they were dealing with Adam's body. But
yes. And speaking of Misty's murder fact, number 178, 12% of all killers are caught buying cleaning supplies. Yep. I mean, if she's not a serial killer, I don't know who is. Like, she's so skilled at, you know, knowing the statistic, knowing where to dispose of like the head and hands, you know, I mean, who like already has in their minds where to dispose of like limbs of decapitated bodies and heads. I mean, right? She obviously was like, oh, okay, dead body. I'm going to go. I'm going to find out when the funeral is, like, you know, the cremation, da, 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 da. Like, she didn't just come up with that. In my mind, she's maybe been doing that for longer than, I mean, she's said that she's kind of close to, like, the funeral guy or whatever. So, yeah. I mean.
She just, like, spit out, okay, yeah, go bury him in Hackleberry Park. Like,
like casual, right? I mean. Yeah.
She also, in my trunk, go use it.
She also knew to get oxygenated bleach,
yeah,
because if you use regular bleach, it leaves behind residue for a luminol test that a law enforcement would do.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the line of her knowledge from being a citizen detective and a serial killer? Like, I feel like it's a really fine line, you know, and it could go either way. And again, you know, the writers are so smart. They're making us think in both directions. So, I mean, I think we're all excited to see if she turns out to be a serial killer or not.
I think there's a good chance that she, like, what came, if she is a serial killer, what I'm curious about is what came first. Did she become a citizen detective because she wanted to find out how to be more efficient? Or did she become a serial killer because she was a citizen detective first and she got so obsessed that she decided she wanted to see if she could get away with.
Or was she born with the gene and she experimented with, like, the rat at a young age? You know, they say a lot of serial killers start with animals. And if that rat did die, you know, maybe that's, you know, her first victim, if you will. I'd love to know.
By the way.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Go.
No, one of my favorite quotes in the entire show was when Misty was picking up the supplies from her facility, from her workplace, and Natalie was in the car. And Misty hands her the Tupperware, and Natalie said, "What are you planning on taking home leftovers?"
That was funny.
Yes, I think that's one of my favorite lines in the entire season.
Yeah.
She's got some good ones. I mean, you know, she's got some really good ones.
Do either of you think that she's going to be the reasoning behind how Coach Ben dies?
I think so. And yeah. I actually have a whole theory about, we saw how Misty got kind of jealous when Coach Ben was talking to Thaisa and seemed to really be, you know, having a good conversation, and he was smiling, and that, like, prompted her to join them because, like, she was probably figuring that he was, you know, kind of impressed with Taisha's leadership skills or whatever. And that's the moment when she decided to go with them. And we also saw Natalie and Ben form a bond. And I think we might, in season two, we might see that expand a bit. We might see them continue to get closer. We know that Natalie came back to New Jersey with a vengeance against Misty. So I have a feeling, and then Travis dies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I have a feeling that any of the men around Natalie are not safe where Misty is concerned. You know, and Juliette Lewis made a comment about how she thinks that Misty might be a little bit in love with Natalie.
Yeah.
Can see that.
Yeah. So I think there's some kind of link there. And I think that Misty is going to get jealous of Ben and Natalie's relationship. Even though it's obviously going to be strictly platonic, I think she's going to get a little bit jealous, and I think she's going to end up killing him.
Yes. And, you know, we know that obviously she's obsessed with him when she's separating with him, when she is going with the girls to try to get out of the wilderness. You know, she says, "I'll come back for you. I promise." And, like, the look on her face is just one of, like, just, I don't even know. It's like she's sad. She's kind of happy. I don't know. Just she loves him. She's hugging him and, "I'll come back for you." And he's just like, "Please don't. Please do not come back. Please, please, please."
I feel like she's gonna, I mean, we saw her interact with him after he told her that he was gay, but I think that learning that information is gonna like really, like we're gonna see that that really upsets her too.
Yeah. Yeah. And she like, she did not handle that well. Like, no. I mean, the next day she said that she had intended the mushrooms to just be for Ben because he tricked her into falling in love with her. or I mean, he tricked her into falling in love with him. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. So she's, I think she, you know, even though it's not a valid way to feel, I think she's pretty upset about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's not, absolutely. She's not taking it well.
No.
That was one of my favorite moments of the whole season when he like screams and he's like, furry forest friends. Do you hear that?
I love that. His forest coming out moment. Oh my God.
That was so good.
I love that.
Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
And you know, thing on the serial killer thing, I've seen some speculation that, you know, that first date that Misty's having, the guy that she brings home when Nat's waiting for her, you know, some people say she's like luring these dates to her house to try to kill them. We don't know because obviously Nat kind of like distracted, you know, that whole plan. But, you know, speaking of Misty's love life, we would be remiss if we did not mention her turn-ons, which we've mentioned before, but always yeah. worth a recap. Bubble baths, pretty normal. Mm-hmm. Walks in the rain. Okay, that's romantic. I can see that. Muscular calves. I like muscular calves. Okay, I can see that. Escalators.
So sexy.
Escalators. Is that a metaphor for like getting
sex-calator.
Up? Getting up? Sescalator. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
I mean,
interesting. I don't know. Knuckles.
Yeah, that's
just
hot.
Gonna leave that one right there. Knuckles. Knuckles.
I love a good set of knuckles.
I mean, oh my God. And then the last one is the real kicker. Steamed clams, obviously. So what I want to know is like, do Walter and Misty meet in a bar having like, you know, steamed clams? Like, like are any of these turn-ons going to tie into Elijah Wood's character? I'm dying to know. Is he a love interest? Is he just a citizen detective? Does he have muscular calves? I guess I need to go and like start yeah. researching Elijah Wood's like body and look at his calves. I don't know. Maybe his knuckles are exceptional.
Yeah.
So we should investigate some Elijah things to see, you know, if any of these turn-ons could potentially be tied to Citizen Detective Walter, who we all cannot wait to see in season two.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I think those turn-ons are definitely going to come up in the storyline at some point.
They're like, so I don't think specific.
I mean, I know.
Very specific.
Yeah. And I do think that they were put in there for us to be like, yeah, she's really weird. But I also think that they, you know, they chose specific things.
I wonder if Christina yeah. Ricci had any input on the turn-ons. I can totally see her adding in like the steamed clams. I mean, like, or I can just picture the writer's room, like coming up with the most like absurd things. I mean, I don't know, writer, whoever came up with steamed clams, cheers to you. I just think it's amazing.
Right?
It's amazing. I love steamed clams too, by the way, but they're not a turn-on for me.
Not a turn-on, but no, they are turn-on.
Yes.
But you know, I would love to see what her dating profile looks like.
We should make one. We should just make our own for fun. Let's do that. Like, let's make yes. her Tinder headline, like her profile, and post it on social media. Oh my God, that's yeah. such a great idea.
She'll chop half your leg off.
You know, I mean, we already know that she was kind of like doing a weird catfishy thing with Kevin, pretending to be Natalie. But I mean, okay, she's. Yeah, they made her look, you know, a little frumpy looking for the show and everything, and like out of style with like her frizzy hair and the glasses and like the dorky clothing. But I mean, especially on the date with Stan, she looked hot.
I thought she looked pretty.
Yeah. And yes. and he just did not want to be there with her.
Yeah.
It's got to be her vibe, right? It just has yeah. to be like her energy, because you're right. She looked very attractive.
She was way out of his league.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, but he was, yeah, I mean, he was rejecting her. So
I felt bad for her in that moment. I really did. I know. I
know. She was trying so hard, you know? I mean, but again, yeah. Was she trying to bring him home, like, to have sex with him or to kill him? I mean, we don't know.
Well, and see, this is the thing. Like, when I rewatched that scene, I thought, okay, there's no way. She's smart. She would not be pushing this hard if she had a genuine interest in him. Like, I don't know that she would embarrass herself like that. You know what yeah. I mean? I mean, she was acting very desperate.
Very desperate.
Yeah. I mean, if it were me and a guy were acting like that, I'd be like, okay, see ya, bye.
Bye.
It didn't work out. Yeah. But I mean, she didn't care that she was kind of like almost humiliating herself, like with her desperation. I don't think it was genuine. I think she had some ulterior motives for sure.
I definitely Absolutely. Think that's possible.
Yeah.
There is where did I oh yeah. There was a Reddit post that I thought was really interesting. Posted by Reddit user Wook Problems. I noticed a parallel in Becky, the girl that called her on the phone. I noticed a parallel in Becky saying, "You're too ugly to find someone to be your victim," in regards to Misty wishing someone would do anal with her. And then on her first date in the first episode, adult Misty disabled her car and manipulated her date to get him into her house by saying, "I'm ugly. If I were pretty, you would come inside," knowing she has the Hotel Caligula fully set up downstairs. She's really good at drugging people, making people's deaths appear as accidental overdoses or suicides, and also has the ability to dispose of a body. She is a serial killer. She is also the one who found the note that said Nat was right. So it's possible that note could be a plant/red herring by Misty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough. Like, I keep forgetting about the fact that she disabled her own car.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a trend, right? I mean, yeah. And who's to know how many other cars that she's disabled? We don't know, you know?
Right? And this, how does this, she like, know how? Like, how does she even know how to do that?
She
like,
knows everything.
She really does.
Yeah.
And I feel bad when she's talking about, you know, the not being pretty. Like, that's something she said throughout the show. You know I'm not pretty, you know, as a teenager. And that's really sad because she is really pretty. And, you know, I hate, you know, that women tend to have such low, you know, self-image. And it's really sad that some of the bullying has contributed to that and made her into who she is. And, like, I've got to wonder, like, does she really think she's hot and she just says that to like get sympathy, or does she really believe that she's not pretty? Because to your point, Kelly, she looked really fantastic. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. It's
I think it's sad. A little of both.
Little of both.
Yeah. I think she may actually I think she may not realize that she is as attractive as she is, but I think she also might have awareness of that she has that, perhaps she has self-esteem issues. Yeah. And I think that she is playing into it to manipulate people.
Mm-hmm.
To try to gain sympathy.
I wonder if in like season 3, she gets a makeover and we see Misty like with straightened hair, contacts, like a whole new look. I don't know what would prompt the makeover. But yeah. Anyway, it would be interesting to see the character like have a different look for something. So we'll see.
Yeah. TBD. Yeah, it would definitely. But yeah, I think that if she wanted to, I think she would know exactly what to do with herself to make her look like a total knockout. But yep. I think that she likes playing up this angle for whatever reason. You know, it makes her seem a little more harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And not one of, say, the pretty people taking over the world, as we saw in this week's episode of American Horror Stories with Judith Light. Sorry. Yes. Little tangent. Oh, my God.
That reminded me so much of an old school episode of like Tales from the Dark Side or Friday the 13th series. So that's like totally the kind of vibe I got from it.
Yes. And then the ends with the hunting situation gave me like some slight Yellow Jackets vibes. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're listening or watching and you like Yellow Jackets, which obviously you do, the episode of American Horror Stories called Facelift had a little bit of some Yellow Jackets vibes potentially in there towards the end. It's an anthology series. You can just watch it as a standalone. Check it out. We all need things to watch in between seasons here. So
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the whole helpless thing or harmless thing is Misty's primary angle into getting people to trust her. And
right. She's just a geek who wears, you know, cat sweatshirts, nothing to see here. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a great, great facade for a serial killer for sure. Like Dexter Morgan was just this nice guy cop or whatever. And, you know, I mean, every serial killer has a facade and, you know, they've done a good job of potentially building a serial killer facade for Misty.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting, like the whole cat thing around her. I mean, does Misty just really like cats a lot? She doesn't have a cat.
She doesn't have a cat though. It's so weird. Yeah. She has a bird. Why? How does she not have a cat and wear all of this cat stuff? I don't understand.
Right? Yeah. I mean, is she, but you know, so is it just like, is it kind of a theme? Like the whole cat thing surrounding her. Like she's the cat that caught the canary.
Well, I kind of felt like with Jessica Roberts, like she kind of played a little game of cat and mouse with her.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's
good
true.
Analogy. Yeah. I love that, Emily. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, I feel like when she initially kidnapped her, she kidnapped her because she thought that Misty had information that she wanted. And she toyed with her until she realized like she wasn't getting what she thought that she had. And that was when she knew, like, she has to go. Like, she's a threat, so she has to go. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. She did make the comment to her that, you know, Jessica had tried to use some leverage against her. And Misty told her, you only have leverage if I'm not willing to make you talk, which I am.
Yep.
And, I mean, she really didn't, you know? So, yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot. I don't think we've seen a whole lot of genuineness coming from Misty. I think it's all been an act.
Yeah.
I think she's acting almost all of the time.
She does say, I know when you look at me, you don't see someone you should be afraid of, but you're wrong. And so, yeah. I mean, she's putting it out there that, you know, you should probably watch out for her. So that might be like a moment of honesty, I feel like.
Yeah,
definitely. Amongst all of the other things that are this facade and this act and, you know, herself branding her in a certain way. We should all be afraid of the notorious MFQ.
I'm terrified of her.
I know.
I love her, but I'm terrified of her.
Yep. Love her. Love her teen. Love her adult. I love everything about Misty fucking Quigley.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. Now, Emily, I know that you do think that Misty's involved with the cult, right?
I think there's a possibility that she could be involved. I think if she is, though, I think that she's playing both sides. Like, I think that she's involved with them, but she's also helping the other Yellow Jackets, and like neither side knows that she's helping the other.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Melanie, is that kind of your take on it too?
I definitely think there's some playing of both sides, but I do think that there is some kind of connection with her and the cult. And same thing with Ty. I believe like her and Ty are, you know, somehow both connected in there. 100%.
So then where do we think that her stalking of Natalie comes into play?
I feel like Natalie has to do something when they're out in the wilderness that like we haven't seen yet that like makes Misty like have this like undying allegiance to her for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, because they've all said like we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Natalie. So it's very clear, like we know she does something. We don't know what it is, but maybe that could be what she's referring to. I don't know, like, because we haven't seen Natalie like go out of her way to be kind to Misty, but we also haven't seen her go out of her way to be mean either.
Right.
Right.
They've done such a good job at like making us double guess everything. I mean, there is the one woman at the end that one of Misty's kidnappers who looked like Misty's coworker.
Yeah.
they've also that this cult has also been referred to by the showrunners as a wellness group. Matt was in rehab. There's all these links that just kind of that kind of seem like they go together, but we can't really figure out how to put the puzzle together yet.
And some of these things may not be a puzzle. You know, it's interesting because the writers have done a great job with red herrings, like with Adam and that sort of thing. But there may be some things that they didn't intend to be Easter eggs or red herrings. They didn't anticipate that, you know, this fandom would be so awesome and incredible and, you know, devoted to solving these mysteries. So, like, for me, it's hard to tell for that reason, but I also think for season two, the reason why they're taking so long is, you know, because they want to get it right. They want to have that attention to detail for the continuity, you know, making sure they're dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's, there's no, you know, duplicative license plates and, you know, little things like that the fandom were looking into, because again, I mean, they probably didn't realize, I mean, they knew it was a good show, but did not know how big the fandom was going to be so quickly. So I do think, you know, it is hard to tell what's intentional, what's not. And I think they're going to be much more strategic with all of the mystery box format stuff, you know, starting in season two.
Yeah. You know, going back to Misty's house for a second, like, we know that Misty does not have the greatest style in the world. She doesn't, you know, she dresses really frumpy and she dresses like she's 20 or 30 years older than she is. But I mean, that house is bad. I don't know what you call them, is it just a screen? Like a fireplace screen?
I don't have a fireplace. I'm not sure. But
yeah, me either.
Well, sounds right.
The one in Misty's house is like bright pink. And it looks like an 80-year-old woman lives there.
Yeah.
I mean, was it her grandmother's house? Like, was this is it a family house that she inherited? You know, I mean, it's possible because it definitely does not look modern or whatever. And that's just her style, you know, grandma.
Also, when Natalie shows up there and she asks her if she wants a drink, the drink choices that she gives to her are something that an old lady would ask for. Like, she's like, I have sherry in the cupboard. I don't know anybody that drinks sherry.
Right?
Yeah. No, like typically like vodka or I don't know, something, a beer, wine. But sherry, that is an interesting, more skewing older drink choice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, other than the bird portraits, it doesn't. I have a hard time believing that even Misty, that anybody her age, even her, as weird as her taste is, would have a house that looks like that. And it looks like somebody has lived there for a long time.
Maybe she killed whoever the original resident was and just kind of like took it over somehow. I don't know how that works with like paperwork and everything, but I mean, it is a little bit sus.
If her parents were doctors, I'm sure they would have retired in a much nicer place. Mm-hmm. It's possible. It could have been, like you said, it could have been her grandmother, but you know, who knows? Maybe she went out with a guy who lived with his parents and his parents died and left him the house and she killed him and, you know.
And I think birds live a long time, right? Like, birds live a really long time? So it may not have been her pet originally. She could have inherited it or, you know, acquired it somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
To be determined.
Yeah,
those are not cheap birds either. Like, they're really expensive.
Yeah, they are.
And the amount of care you have to put in, like Misty, you know, I mean, like, she obviously loves the bird or whatever and takes care of it, but, you know, not so good at taking care of other people and killing them, i.e. Jessica Roberts. But
what I think would be awesome is if the bird, like, we haven't heard the bird talk or anything.
Yeah.
It would be great if the bird, like, says something he's not supposed to.
Like in the Only Murders in the Building bird.
Oh, my God. I was just thinking that.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Oh my God. You need to watch Only Murders in the Building. Another tangent as we give you more television to watch in between Yellow Jacket seasons. Only Murders in the Building on Hulu is super cute. Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez. And it's funny, like, I'm not even a big Martin Short fan, but
oh, he's the best part.
Like, they're so good. He plays that part so well. Highly recommend Only Murders in the Building, which does have a talking bird.
Yes.
I'm going to have to check that out. It's been on my to watch list for a while now.
Yes.
But yeah, that would, I would love to see that if Caligula blurts out, you know.
I wonder if it talks, because it seems like the kind, those birds do talk, right?
I think you have to actually kind of work with them on it though. And I think it's one of, if I read about this a long time ago. I don't remember why, it wasn't in relation to Yellow Jackets, but if I remember correctly, I think that they don't, it's more that they have the ability to do it, but don't really know that it's something they should be doing. But once they learn how to do it, they really enjoy talking, and it's a way of bonding with their owners.
Yeah.
So I think but I think you actually have to kind of train the bird to actually talk.
Yes.
So who knows? Maybe she never even trained the bird to talk, and we'll never.
I feel like, or it's gonna come out. Though. Yeah.
Yes. It seems like, because that's her companion. You know, if you think about it, that might be one of the only, things that she actually talks to. And it could come out and drop some crazy, crazy thing that reveals something about Misty. God, I don't know what it would be, but. I mean, that bird could have a lot of secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, no kidding.
or maybe it's just, says off the wall things. She's trained it to say super weird things or Plato quotes or something. I don't know. But
yeah. I just had another thought. I had another thought about the house. I'm sorry. I keep going back and forth here. My thoughts are scattered.
That's why they call it a deep dive, Kelly. That's why
Deep dive. Wouldn't it be crazy if Coach Ben makes it back? He survives. He makes it out of the wilderness. And that was actually his parents' house or something. And he was staying there and she was taking care of him. Wouldn't that be crazy? Yeah.
Wow. That could be something.
I don't know why I'm so curious about this house. I don't think it was originally hers. And I just want to know who owned it.
I think I agree with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
But she had to get those custom pet portraits made because,
We should show them one more time. I know it's hard to see, but the bird head with this weird, I don't know. Is it a military uniform? It almost looks like it could be a space suit. Is it an alien bird? I mean, are aliens tied into Yellow Jackets? I don't know. The bird or lizard people? I don't know.
Do either of you think that there was any significance to in the pilot when they're at the party and Natalie starts tripping and she sees Misty? She imagines Misty is there. Do you remember that?
I'm really...
And she was definitely not at the party, correct? Because we don't see her at any other time. So she was definitely not there. That is strange that she would see her in the teen timeline like that. I mean, what's that about, right?
Yeah. I was wondering if that was for a reason. If they showed her for a reason.
Yeah. Part of me feels like maybe she did show up at the party and for just a little bit or something. And she... was basically there to spy on Natalie for whatever reason.
I mean, unless she's just had a crush on her this whole time, but it does not explain why Nat would be seeing Misty in a hallucinatory situation.
Yeah, I know. It's that was very strange.
But I made a list of all the messed up stuff that she's done throughout the season. And I wanted to see if you guys would want to rank it from worst to the worst.
Okay, let's rank. Yeah. Let's rank.
Okay, so we have destroying the black box is number one on my list. Not number one for the worst.
Yeah, okay.
poisoning Coach Scott after he rejected her, messing with Natalie's car, messaging Kevin Tan pretending to be Natalie, following Natalie when she goes out with Kevin, putting a hidden camera in Natalie's motel room.
Oh my God. And real quick, most likely to steal your sex tape, Misty Quigley. That was our yearbook feature in that episode.
Yeah, she's watching Natalie and Kevin get it on.
Oh my God.
Like putting a hidden camera and then watching the footage. That too.
Yeah.
Abducting and killing Jessica Roberts.
That's number one for me.
Stealing pill supplies from her job and withholding medication from patients, which number I thought two. Was really messed up.
Yes.
And drugging the entire team with mushrooms. I know I missed a couple, but I just highlighted like some of the big ones.
And the rat. We can maybe put the rat in there too. I mean, I don't know.
So you think that the worst is kidnapping and killing Jessica Roberts?
Yes. And then I would say for me, number two would be, you know, the way she treats her patients. You know, that's abusive, withholding the medicine and, you know, not treating them in a way that I would want my loved one treated if they were in that facility. So that's absolutely my number one and two. What about you, Kelly?
God, I don't know. You know, there was also the prank that she pulled with the kids.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, the Halloween thing. Yep.
Yes.
But that was so traumatic for those poor kids. Oh, my God.
I know. It's so hard to, for me to pick which one I think is the worst. I would say, yeah, I would probably agree with, well, I don't know. I would say that the Jessica Roberts thing and the black box are tied for me, probably.
And, you know, just a quick note on the black box. I know there's been a lot of arguments that, you know, people say the black box doesn't actually do anything to trace them or find their location. So from that standpoint, like the impact of her destroying it didn't really matter. But the fact that she probably thought that that was their means to rescue and still destroyed it makes the motive worse than, you know, the actual act, I feel like. So yeah, that should be right up there, you know, as well. But killing for me is like, I mean, essentially, though, you know, if she destroyed the black box, that led to people getting killed, even though we know the black box may not have tracked them. Again, like the motive behind it was like very sinister.
I have a friend that actually used to work for the Federal Aviation Administration, and I had a conversation with him about what would actually happen in that scenario. And he said that number one, like she wouldn't have been able to destroy it that easily in real life. So we have to give the show some leeway as to what's possible and what's not
possible. Suspension of disbelief. Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And he said that typically those activate when they go underwater. Like that's when the signal starts to transmit and the location starts to be shared. But like you said, like, it's all in the intention. Like it doesn't even really matter if the black box would have helped them get found, because she intended to destroy it. So she wanted help to not be able to find them. Like that was her goal. She wanted to be stuck there.
Yeah.
And that's just like beyond messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, she basically was, you know, kidnapping them in her mind.
Oh, you know, one more thing not on the list is when Coach Ben had the erection and she walked in the room and went to touch it. Like, so like, that's kind of like sexual predatory. I mean, like how inappropriate is that? Like, I feel like that should go on the list too. That just popped up in my head. No pun intended.
One of my cards for our cards, we're currently making a Cards Against Yellow Jackets deck. And one of my answer cards was Misty snorting coke off Coach Ben's boner.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That is so good.
Oh my God.
You know, another, like, one other kind of, it's not as messed up as the other things, but by far, but one thing I'm kind of curious about, why do you guys think that she called out Jackie?
That really bothered me.
Yeah.
A lot. Because Jackie was the only one that was nice to her. Like, Jackie helped her with her makeup. One. Like, she told her, like, you deserve to be with somebody that wants to be with you. Like, she was giving her all of these, like, positive reinforcements. And then she just goes back and slaps her in the face. And it's like, Jackie didn't say it. Like,
yeah.
That made me so mad.
Yeah, I wonder what her motivation was there. I mean, was it just because she thought like it would make her feel more accepted by the others?
Going with the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was on the hate Jackie train, so.
Right.
She jumped right aboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She really did.
It could be.
Yeah. I also think, and I think I mentioned this to both of you before, but I think it's very possible that we may find out in the present timeline that Misty actually might feel some guilt over Jackie's death. Because it's like her calling her out is kind of what led to the whole like
fight
antagonistic situation that caused her to go outside. And I think that that could have other potential ramifications later on down the line that perhaps Misty was affected by. And I don't know why. I just have this feeling that Misty isn't really happy about how that happened. We're going to find that out in season 2.
I mean, if I were Misty and like that transpired, like I would feel partially responsible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Cause that was the domino that just like set everything else to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the whole situation was weird because I mean, everything that happened and like everybody is getting on Jackie for sleeping with Travis. Like really? That's what you're so outraged by out of all the other shit that went on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing was just weird. And I mean, they were just acting like none of that shit with Travis happened.
Yeah. They like essentially had an orgy.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
yeah, they basically tried to gang rape Travis and then tried to kill him.
Yeah.
And Jackie's the bad one.
Yeah. Like, what the hell?
And even Natalie, like, who you would have thought would have been the most affected by what Jackie did was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care about that right now. Like,
yeah. Yeah. She was
the like, moral you know, compass once again, you know, I mean, every single time.
God. Even Travis was acting like, you know, nothing big happened. The only like
Nat was Natalie... the most concerned about it out of everybody, even Travis, which is crazy. Yeah.
I know, like when Natalie came up to him to see if he was okay, he only referenced hooking up with Jackie. Like,
yeah,
he was in shock probably too. Like, you know, he had sex the first time, like all of a sudden he's getting like almost gang raped with like a knife to his throat. I mean, it's a lot of traumatic things happening. So he was probably in shock for, you know, a good period after that. And Javi's missing too. So, you know, that's a whole nother concern that he has. So,
I don't know.
Poor Travis. Poor Travis.
I know. Ugh. Yeah, he really
gets a lot of hate. Yeah. He gets a lot of hate on
he was kind of an asshole. But I mean,
nothing worse than the average teenage boy. I mean, yeah, he was, but like
it was tough he could have grown out of it. Though. It was tough he could have grown out of, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he was stranded with all these girls. Like, I mean, you know, it's kind of a crazy situation. So he was dealing with it the best he could, you know.
Yeah.
And he was bullied too, you know, like with the whole flex thing. That's really, you know, something him and Misty have in common. They were both kind of bullied.
Yeah.
That's true.
But man, he really got the shit end of the stick for sure in the show. I mean, just all the shit that happened to him. Jeez.
Yeah.
Terrible. Oh my God. But, you know, again, like the one thing that really just keeps hitting me is, you know, with Travis's death and putting those pictures together, like normal person could have put those pictures together. And to your point, Emily, you know, all roads kind of do lead to Misty. If you think about all these little breadcrumbs that have been scattered and what she's been involved with. And there's a lot going on with Misty.
Yeah,
there was like one other thing that she did during the season that I thought was really weird. In episode 4 at the very end, she calls Shauna to tell Shauna that Travis died.
Yes.
And for some reason that conversation like really stuck out in my head, and it's nothing important. Like Shauna's just like, I really don't have time for this, Misty. Can you fucking get it out? And she says, Travis is dead. And that's where the conversation ends. But But why does Misty seek out Shauna in this moment? Like, why is it so important that she needs to call her and tell her this news? Like, I felt like that was so weird.
And she had that smug look on her face after she got off the boat with her.
Yep. She looked happy.
Like, was she just in trying to inflict pain? But it's like Shauna didn't have the same relationship with Travis as like Nat did. So it is an odd phone call between the two of them, given their dynamic.
It makes me think that it might be possible that like Shauna and Travis like end up forming some kind of like a friendship out there that like we haven't seen yet.
That's
because she does seem like, I mean, obviously, like if you learn that somebody that you went to school with died, like that's upsetting news, but they haven't been in contact for how many years? Like she probably didn't even know where Travis was.
Right.
And she was, he changed his name and everything. Like, you know, I mean,
She seemed really sad when she was looking at like the autopsy pictures. And she, you know, Misty also made sure to stress that like, you know, don't I have something to tell you that nobody else bothered to tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could just be her trying to, you know, insert herself and, you know, try to do the right thing, I guess. But why Shauna? I mean, like, they don't have a relationship. It's strange.
I've seen some theories floating around that the others, including Misty, might be afraid of Shauna.
You can see that.
Yeah.
And that's why they, like, that's why nobody had told her right away about Travis's death. And maybe this was Misty's way of like endearing herself to Shauna somehow so she could get on that train. And I think we're going to see a big Shauna versus Lottie thing in season two.
Yes. I'm dying to know how, you know, like, does Shauna meet adult Lottie and Van? Is it only going to be Nat? How far into the season? I mean, there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that Misty's going to be the first person to like notice that Natalie's missing?
Oh yeah.
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 That makes sense. I mean,
she might, you know, she might even be involved in it.
Did they destroy the diffuser cam, the owl diffuser camera? They destroyed that, right? So Misty doesn't have access to watch inside the hotel room anymore. So,
but the cult was, somebody was obviously watching her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I don't think they would have just been like, you know, just randomly busted through her motel room door when she was like sitting there with a gun under her chin.
And again, like, what is their vested interest in Natalie not dying? I mean, that is a very important question. What key does Natalie hold to whatever it is that the cult needs? Is it a sacrifice? Do they have to like continue sacrificing, you know, people? Or I don't know, but there's something about Nat that, you know, maybe we don't yet, but they need her for something, because they wouldn't have just taken her to like save her life after all these years. They just pop in. Oh, hey, like, you're going to kill yourself. We'll save you. No.
Yeah.
Which after all this time.
Right. And why is it all happening now? You know, is it the 25th anniversary? Is it, you know, has this been in the works forever? Is it tied to, you know, Ty's political career? You know, I mean,
I think that the postcards coming like deliberately came out around the 25th anniversary. I think that was planned for some reason.
Right. Which makes sense. The magazine and all that stuff. I mean, you know, good time to rehash things. But why wait so long? You know, what is the end game? Like, why wait this long? Why not have popped up 10 years or 15 years? Like, what's so important about right now that this has some significance or meaning, you know, 25 years later?
Yeah, I think that there is something that happened in all of their lives that caused them to reconnect. Aside from the reunion, which is why I still have my suspicions about Adam.
Cannot get over his tattoo. I mean, we've talked about it. We know Adam's not Javi, blah, blah, blah. But again, like, why is he inviting her to a cabin in the Poconos? Why does he have this tattoo with mountains and like weird geometry lines? I mean, you know, again, the tattoo could just be to identify his body and, you know, come back to haunt the women. But I just think there's more to it. I don't think he randomly has a mountain tattoo just for fun.
Yeah. And what made Thaisa decide to run for state senate? You know,
I'm telling you, I am big into this. Like, the cult is her, like, pack supplying all her money. She's going to be on track to be president for whatever sinister purposes the cult, you know, needs her for. I don't know, but there's something with her political career. And I mean, she's got the altar, she's making the sacrifices. Like, I mean, Ty's obviously got to be tied into the cult, unless it just is her, you know, and it's like a dissociative identity thing and she really is doing all this stuff and not aware of it. But I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah, there, Thaisa has so many layers. I can't wait to talk about her. What we're doing next, our next deep dive.
One's going to be fun. First, we're going to cover another mini episode on Shauna's baby, and then we will do our Thai deep dive. So those are our next two upcoming episodes. Do we have anything else that we would like to cover on the notorious MFQ?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay, I had one more quote graphic here. Uncomfortable silence makes me uncomfortable, said by adult Misty, which, you know, explains a lot. She's very chatty, always trying to like fill the silence. She's not one to just sit there in silence with, like her and Jessica are always talking. So just another little Misty Quigley quirk, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I have one question for you guys. So if she is a serial killer, do you think like the way that she killed Jessica Roberts is similar to the way that she killed other people? Or do you think she has a different method of how she kills people?
I think the fentanyl overdose thing is like a really smart method. It's easy. She has the syringes. She has access to the medicine. That could be her MO, you know, I mean, 100%. She's got access through her work to the, you know, body disposal stuff. I mean, for me, like, yes, I think that's her MO. I think if it's not cigarettes, it's the chocolates, you know, that we saw. Yeah. So yes, I 100% am on board with that.
Yeah, cool. I think so too. I don't think she would want to, but she does know how to get rid of a body. I mean,
That's right. I mean, you know, she knows what cleaning supplies to get. And this is, again, like one of my favorite quotes. The 12% of all serial killers are caught buying cleaning supplies. I just love that. I love the smile on her face when she says it. She's so happy that the girls called her, you know, to be involved and help. She wants to help. She loves it. She's like in her element. And, you know, again, I'm interested to see how Elijah Wood's character Walter is going to tie into this. You know, is he going to be a love interest? Is he a citizen detective? Maybe it turns out like they're both serial killers and it turns into like a Dexter type of situation, you know?
Oh, that would be cool.
I mean, but again, it's a one season arc. So we can surmise that he's killed at the end of the season. I think by Misty. I need to update our bingo card. We have this like bingo card on Instagram that we had with some little tasks, but I think we need to update the bingo card with theories and things that will happen in season two and post them, and we can like give a prize to the person that gets the most like theories correct or something. We'll have to figure that part out. But I love the idea of like Yellow Jackets bingo for some of these theories and things that we're suspecting for season two, because there's just so many theories and so many different things. And I mean, oh my God, season two cannot get here fast enough.
I know. One other quote that I found really interesting from the show was that, okay, so first of all, like we know that things get crazy in the winter. And we talked about, like, the showrunners have said that season two is, they're calling it the winter of their discontent. And we know, we already talked about how Misty was thriving out there. And Misty says to Jessica, and it was either, like, in either the finale episode or Doom Coming, she's got that bright red lipstick on. And she says, I always thought I was a spring, but maybe I'm a winter. And it reminded me of that. I thought that was really clever.
Oh my God. That's so funny. And again, like I see Misty as a funny character. I mean, the way she delivers the one-liners, both, you know, teen and adult Misty. But I also see, you know, Christina Ricci's point of, you know, her having empathy for her because she is, you know, troubled in some way and has all these things going on, and she's a deep person that we may never understand, but you know, hopefully we can get more in season two.
How are we not supposed to think that she snorts cocaine and then she says, I'll Venmo you? How are we not supposed to think that's funny? That was hysterical.
How did she not have a heart attack or whatever? Like, I feel like it was like a whole plate of cocaine. I mean, like, how was she not? I mean, unless she, like, I mean, especially if she doesn't normally do drugs, like, you know, like, I'm, you know, I mean, obviously it wasn't real cocaine she snorted, obviously, but like,
my husband and I died at that line. Like, we were like, oh my gosh, we were laughing so hard.
I'll Venmo you. Oh my God.
That whole scene was just so fantastic. And it's like just the cloud of coke in the air.
I mean, taking one for the team, you know, it is, it's so interesting the things that she chooses to like be the good guy about and the things that, you know, she's a little more devious about. She really is like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type in a way. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we see two very different sides of the notorious MFQ. And by the way, I'm referring to her as the notorious MFQ from now on. That's like my new thing.
Notorious MFQ.
So yeah, I don't know. She's my favorite character. I love her. I mean, I love them all. I love Nat. I love Shauna. But there is just something about Misty Quigley that just is endearing to me. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. I love like true crime and murder and serial killers. So I think that's a part of it. Like, that's just my jam. Like, I love crime and murder. So like me and Misty, you know, I mean, naturally she's my choice. And God, Christina is so talented. Like, can we please manifest her the win for best supporting actress in a drama? I mean, the competition is stiff, but for me, like, MFQ all the way. Yeah. All the way.
She's so fantastic in the show. She really is.
Yeah.
I mean, she just kills every scene.
She does. And, you know, speaking of the Emmys, we have talked about going live on Instagram after they have concluded presenting all of these 7 categories that Yellow Jackets is nominated in. So, you know, be sure to follow us at the Antler Queens so you can, you know, make sure you are connected with us on Instagram. We're the Antler Queens, same on Twitter, same on Facebook. And we also have some really fun merch available, MFQ merch specifically. We've got all kinds of designs made by our very talented Kelly. But since we're doing our Misty deep dive, we have the MFQ design available on shirts, hats, mugs, tank tops, you name it. And I'm our merch.
Today.
Yes. I love the blue. It's such a nice Yellow Jackets color too. I love that. Yeah. And all of our merch is available at antlerqueenspodcast.com. We've always got new designs coming, so check those out. And you know, again, be sure to connect with us on social media so that way you can hop on to our Emmy IGTV live after show.
Also, I'm thinking about doing a Caligula shirt.
Oh, can you make it with the uniform, like on her like painting? I mean, oh my God.
I could do that. I could do that with a, I'm trying to decide if I should do a Caligula in shirt or if I should do a picture of Caligula.
Caligula in.
You shield your eyes if he comes at your face.
Oh, I love that too, though.
So, If you're watching this right now or listening, let us know which shirt you would be more likely to wear. A Caligula in shirt or a shirt with Caligula on it that says, do shield your eyes if he comes at your face. Which is one of my favorite Misty lines.
I love that. Oh my God. And I feel like there's like a little sexual innuendo there too. Or maybe I'm just like a 12-year-old. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a 12-year-old. Either way. Well, I think that we've covered Misty pretty well. But, you know, if you're watching this on social media, please drop a comment, drop us an email or message. You know, we'd love to hear your different Misty theories, you know, whether you agree, don't agree, have some theories that, you know, we did not cover. You know, this show is all about the fans, right? Like, we're big fans. We want all of the fans to feel like, you know, this is your show. So chime in. We're going to be having more fan panels and we're launching our Patreon soon and lots of exciting things. So thank you for being here and listening and all that. We love you all.
Yes,
very much.
Yes. And God, I mean, I think with that, hey, Kelly and Emily.
What's up?
Yep.
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
Antler Queens.